Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Go Gamecocks podcast, a quick and informative look into the state of University of South Carolina sports, presented by the state newspaper. I am your host, Greg Hadley, and I am joined by reporter Ben Briner, and we are previewing South Carolina football's game against Tennessee this Saturday on the road, 4 p.m., televised on the SEC Network. Ben, this has always been an interesting series between the Volunteers and the Gamecocks. Coach Will Muschamp said it the past three games have been decided by a combined 12 points. What is your take on the series, and do you think we're going to get another close one this Saturday?
Well, if we come into it imagining that it'll be a close one, maybe the universe will just deliver something that completely surprises us, because, goodness, the last six or seven, have all been close and have all been particularly weird. I was talking to someone earlier that, you know, you go back to the 2013 game when Tennessee, which was not a good team, rallied late and stunned South Carolina in the final seconds and ended up denying the Gamecocks a trip to the SEC title game. It's been a weird series. You had the Jarrell Adams fumble. You had the shootout in 2014. The last three have all been strangely close wins. Jake Bentley's second game was against Tennessee, and they knocked off, I think Tennessee was number 18 at the time. You had the fumble last year. You had everything that happened in Knoxville 2 years ago in a 15-9 game. I mean, it has been distressingly strange. I assume you'd get kind of the same just because both coaches are Saban disciples and play that kind of grinding style. I think Tennessee might have more RPOs this year, but they still seem like they like to go under center some. So if you're a Gamecocks fan and you want to avoid stress, this might not be your week. Sorry, guys.
I mean, it is. I think the line is down to 4 points.
Yeah, it's at four.
It's just kind of interesting, you know, South Carolina upset Georgia. They pushed Florida, maybe not to the limit, but very close, very hard. And obviously, the officiating is still a touching subject. So taking that into account, they could have made it even closer for Florida. And now we're going to a game with Tennessee, and there seems to be some nervousness with the fan base. And I think that maybe speaks to kind of the parity maybe of the SEC and Tennessee's talent level, but also just how inconsistent South Carolina can be, the low floor they have and the high ceiling.
I don't know that it speaks as much to parity as it kind of speaks to South Carolina's offense at times has looked a little rickety in those past two games, despite them competing pretty well with two very good teams. Also, I think it's a road game, and Tennessee is talented. They haven't been so good this year. They're 2-5. They lost to Georgia State, which is very bad, and they lost to BYU, which is probably not good, with former Gamecock Tyson Williams actually carrying the ball in for the game-winning touchdown in overtime. But Tennessee still is 16th in the 247 talent composite, so Tennessee's got dudes. And there's just always the worry, because this game, is, as we talked about, it's usually close. And I think this is probably not specific to South Carolina fans. This is probably something that every NCAA fan base has to a certain degree, but there's always kind of an expectation for a lot of people that a good performance is going to be followed up with falling on one's face. And between that talent, going on the road, Tennessee looking pretty decent the last 2 weeks, that fear just sort of is going to linger and kind of fester in people's minds. It's sort of the same way that Gamecocks fans, every time they're set to face a backup quarterback, get quite worried.
Yeah, like you said, Tennessee has a good track record in recruiting. And, I mean, to your point about letdowns, I think we're all kind of waiting to see if that would happen this past week against Florida. They mostly managed to avoid it. And so now it's like, can they keep it going another week, like you said, on the road? Looking at, like you said, the offense struggled some against Florida, especially the passing game, which we discussed in our recap episode. But Coach Will Muschamp offered an update during his Tuesday press availability on freshman quarterback Ryan Helinski. Let's take a listen to what he had to say.
Will, obviously Ryan had some struggles throwing the ball last week. Was the knee a factor in any of that, and how has he kind of bounced back this week or responded this week?
I thought he looked the best he's looked on a Tuesday practice since the injury. And, you know, again, I think, Pete, let's be fair here, that wasn't all on Ryan. You know, there was some things we – there could have been a flatter route on one of the deep balls. I mean, there were some things that we could have done better around him. But he'd be the first person to tell you that he needs to be – we need to be more accurate throwing the football. But I thought he had a really good Tuesday practice today. He was sharp throwing the football. He looked bouncing around in the pocket, but as healthy as he's been. And I don't think there's any question, but we're all sore right now. We all got some ailments right now. But he's a competitor, and he's going to battle through it.
So, Ben, listening to that, it seems like the health aspect of Hilinski's game is in a good place, and we're not quite sure how much that impacted his past performances. But, I mean, what do we need to see more of from him?
Well, I think it's just it comes back to accuracy, and it comes back to consistent accuracy, and Muschamp has been very big on saying that some of the problems are not all his fault, trying to parse some of those out, trying to figure out, you know, what's on receivers running poor routes or what's on protection issues, which we can probably understate. Again, South Carolina's, in terms of efficiency, their passing game was a hint below average against Florida, which actually is kind of an accomplishment considering the passing game has been so up and down efficiency-wise this season. The issue right now is they're just not generating any really big plays. It seemed like they've had trouble breaking ones. There was the early bomb to Brian Edwards. They had the Edwards touchdown last week against Georgia, which proved to be very valuable, but they've just kind of struggled getting the ball downfield a little bit, and at times they're pretty good sort of working short, but if the accuracy starts to flutter a little bit on some of those short and intermediate balls, it quickly kind of runs the offense into a ditch a little bit.
Yeah, the focus on deep balls was especially acute after this Florida game, just because Hilinski did seem to have a few looks that he just missed, or like you said, Will Muschamp blamed some of it on misrun routes, and there was a couple instances where the coverage was just really tight. But how important are these deep balls? You're talking about maybe unlocking the short game with them, but it's not like Hilinski has to make all these throws perfectly for him to be effective, right?
Yeah, I think a lot of the time, deep ball throws are to a degree overrated because you just, unless you're running Baylor's offense or you're Oklahoma or something, you just don't hit that many of them. But you need to hit some, and you need to hit some for no other reason than it'll get you maybe a few more yards of space. It'll open up the middle a little more because safeties are deeper or corners are playing a couple steps off. And that can be very valuable because, you know, if you hit a four-yard hitch and the corner's a few steps back, that can turn into a few more yards after catch. And those little things really kind of start to pile up. And especially with the situation where they've got Ryan Hilinski, they're letting him throw a lot of short stuff. They're letting him sort of work that efficiency passing game. It started, you know, back in the spring game and has basically carried through. He, you know, he went 13 of 16 against Georgia, and that wasn't completely gone against Florida. It wasn't great by any stretch, but it wasn't completely gone. But you need something to kind of shake the game loose a little bit. They haven't got a lot of explosiveness out of Shai Smith. That might be an area to look for. And on some of those deep balls, as you kind of said, it wasn't as if they were super far off. They were, you know, a few yards too deep or a little out of reach, or there was the Brian Edwards play where he probably could have gotten it and a defensive back gave a really well-timed shove and it kind of knocked him off balance. So I think they have the pieces to kind of improve on that. And again, it's not talking about, you're not going to see six of these, but you probably need to see more than the one on a flea flicker. You probably need to see three-ish, or you need to see some of those receivers catching shorter passes and breaking them for something big.
Yeah, Coach Muschamp mentioned even if you just connect on a few of those throws, it really changes the complexion of the game. But what we've seen with opposing defenses more than a couple occasions this year, they've really loaded up the box against Hilinski, essentially dared South Carolina to go over the top or rely on the passing game more. Do you think we'll see Tennessee do that as well, just kind of keep on doing it until he proves that he can make them respect the deep ball?
That would certainly reflect the kind of defensive stylings that Pruitt has kind of brought from Nick Saban. I don't have the exact advanced numbers out here right now, but that would basically be kind of the case of saying, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us deep. And that's probably not the worst tactic for a kind of under-talented team against South Carolina where it is right now, because when you do that, you also kind of commit more bodies to the run, and that's always advantageous. I could definitely see that being the case. On the other hand, Muschamp and Pruitt at least have, you know, they never coach together, but they have some crossover in the schools of thought that they're from, and Muschamp's defenses have traditionally been a little more bend-don't-break. So it's entirely possible that Pruitt is also from that same tree. So a lot of it, I think you're just going to kind of have to try and see. I don't know there's necessarily a great way to predict that right now.
Hey there. Like what you hear? Good news. You can help ensure the state continues making journalism you love to read, watch, and listen to. If you're more into sports than news, you'd probably like our Sports Pass membership, which gives you access to unlimited sports coverage for just $30 for the first year. Subscribe to Sports Pass at thestate.com/sportspass. You can also read more Gamecocks news by downloading the Go Gamecocks app or by signing up for our newsletter at thestate.com/newsletters. Thanks for supporting local journalism. Now, back to today's episode.
I'm looking at the run game for South Carolina. Coach Muschamp didn't 100% confirm it in his Tuesday press conference, but he led us all to believe very much that I think senior Rico Dowdle will at least be out this week with a sprained knee. Could have been much worse. He could have been out for the year, which, I mean, he's struggled with injuries throughout his career. But he will be missing this game, and that puts Tavian Feaster, the Clemson grad transfer, really in the spotlight with senior Mondensen a little bit behind him. But, I mean, number one, do you think Feaster is ready to be the featured back? It was more of a little bit of a timeshare between him and Dowdle, but do you think he can carry the ball 25 to 30 times? And what do you see from Denson against Tennessee's run defense?
I don't think they'll give him the ball that much just because he's not the biggest dude. I think they'll give him the ball, I could see 20, maybe a little more depending on how the game goes. But this is a coaching staff that really, truly, and utterly trusts Mondensen. They believe in that kid. And Mondensen is a good hard-nosed runner, so I could definitely see him having a pretty big impact. Looking at the numbers, Tennessee's actually, their run defense is pretty decent, only giving up 4 yards per carry, which ain't bad. So I think that'll be interesting. But realistically, I think they're going to go with a timeshare of, as you said, Feaster, Denson. I don't know who gets the ball after that, but frankly, they have a system where they only give two guys the ball anyway. And yeah, I think Mondensen's a perfectly reasonable second running back, and it sounds like A.J. Turner might be out as well, so might just be those two dudes.
And on Tennessee's side, they are dealing with a lot of confusion at the quarterback position. They had Jared Garantano start off the year. He was replaced by Brian Maurer, but Maurer has suffered two concussions in two consecutive weeks, most recently against Alabama. They haven't officially ruled him out for this weekend's game, but reading between the lines and reading articles that have consulted with neurological experts and things of that nature, it just seems extremely unlikely and almost dangerous to put him in a position to play. So, with that in mind, what can we expect from Garantano and, more generally speaking, Tennessee's offense?
Well, I think Garantano's a pretty solid quarterback. I don't know that he's ever been particularly spectacular. I think he's sort of got a little bit of that young quarterback starting early magic dust sprinkled on him, where, you know, he was this brimming with potential a few years back and then was just decent last year and then has been overcome by someone younger. I think he's okay. I think he can certainly make that offense function enough. He's not going to be a disaster. He's not going to be the beginning of last game Kyle Trask, though it's debatable if he's going to be the end of last game Kyle Trask. From overall Tennessee, they're kind of interesting because Pruitt, it doesn't seem like, has any particular interest in sort of that much high-flying offense. He seems to be a little bit more from the older school Nick Saban kind of thing, where you have an offense that kind of pounds people into dust. He doesn't really have the talent for that yet. I know they have switched out offensive coordinators. They've got Jim Chaney, who is a very smart and a very good offensive coordinator and also can run pretty diverse schemes. He was many moons ago the offensive coordinator for Drew Brees. He also has been the offensive coordinator for Arkansas's power outfit under Brett Bielema. From looking at some Tennessee film, it seems like they're definitely more pro-style than average. They do a lot of under-center stuff. They seem to like using two tight ends, but it doesn't necessarily seem like they're not that averse to going shotgun three wide when they need to. So I think you'll see more of a power game, maybe more downhill stuff, even more than, say, a Georgia, perhaps. So I think it could be, if things work out, and maybe a little like the last two games, sort of a more low-possession, run-heavy type of contest from sort of both sides.
And I know you'll have your prediction coming out on GoGamecocks.com later this week, but give us a little preview into what you're thinking right now.
Right now I'm leaning South Carolina, but not by a lot. Maybe they barely cover, maybe they don't cover, but end up kind of pulling it out. Will Muschamp's teams have lived a little dangerously? During his weekly press conference, he pointed out that they're 14-6 in one-score games, which is good because it's better than the alternative, but relying on a good one-score game record is probably not the best thing in the world because those tend to flatten out to near 500. I think South Carolina probably pulls it out because I don't think Tennessee's particularly good, but it's kind of one of those keep an eye on it, upset watch kind of games just because Tennessee, I mean, last year Tennessee had the ability to turn it into a slugfest, and that was with a South Carolina offense that was considerably better than this one. Now, South Carolina's defense was not considerably better than this, but I think overall, I think it'll be kind of a low-scoring grinder of a game. Maybe we'll get lucky and it'll get done in about 3 hours with a lot of running the ball.
Things will get interesting real quick, though, on any explosive plays.
Exactly.
All right, that's all the time we have for now. We will be back next Monday to recap Tennessee, South Carolina. In the meantime, please continue to subscribe, follow, or like us wherever you get your podcasts.